Lift up your hands and worship him tonight. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him glory and honor and adoration. Magnify him and exalt him. Father, thank you for the privilege you have given unto me to appear again at your feet tonight. Give him thanks and praise. Give him glory and honor. Give him all adoration. Exalt and magnify him. Father, we thank you. Father, we worship you. Father, we exalt your name. Thank you and thank you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have given thanks. Your amen is weak.
Amen.
In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Tonight, you are going home with a testimony.
Amen.
Tonight, the Lord will visit with you.
Amen.
Tonight, like Jacob met the Lord, you will meet with him.
Amen.
And it shall turn to you for a testimony.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, Lord, God of holiness, speak to us again tonight.
Amen.
Open our ears, open our hearts.
Amen.
Speak to us expressly,
Amen.
For your spirit speaks expressly. And let your name only be glorified.
Amen.
Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Help me congratulate your neighbor on your right and left. Tell your neighbor it's your turn. Tell your neighbor it's your turn for a testimony in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Glory to God. Prophetic focus, supernatural breakthrough is my heritage. And our teaching series tonight, understanding the breakthrough power of kingdom stewardship. Understanding the breakthrough power of kingdom stewardship. Glory to God. So, in kingdom stewardship is breakthrough power. Understanding the breakthrough power of kingdom stewardship, that means every time we engage in the service of God, it actually results in breakthroughs. The end time church is ordained a breakthrough church. We have learned that over and over again, that the end time church is ordained a breakthrough church. According to Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills." It says, "And all nations shall flow into it." It said, "One nation shall say to another, come ye and let us go into the house of the Lord our God, for he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his path." He says, "For out of Zion shall proceed the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And we plug into that greatness. So the end time church is ordained a great church, is ordained a breakthrough church. And we plug into that greatness in qualitative stewardship. It is available for us, but we plug into it in qualitative stewardship. And look at Jesus, our example. Jesus, our example. He said in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 9, which is our anchor scripture for midweek services. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God," he says, "but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." He took upon him the form, the Son of God made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So the Son of God took off the cloak of the Son of God and took up the cloth of a servant. Glory to God. He said, "and was made in the likeness of men." And verse 8 says, "and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." He could only do that by humility. So when your shoulders are high, you are not humble. And your service is not acceptable. When your shoulders are too high, nobody can talk to you. You are not humble. And your service is not acceptable. Go back to verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the faith, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. We plug into that greatness in stewardship. And there are different types of stewardship with which all results in our breakthrough. Different types of stewardship. Different type of stewardship, which when done properly, must result in your breakthrough. Stewardship must always result in breakthrough when stewardship is done the way it's supposed to be done. May the Lord give us understanding. Your amen is weak.
Amen.
In the course of the month, we have heard about some stewardship that results in breakthroughs. We heard about soul-winning stewardship. And the example we had was the example of Moses and Nehemiah. We also heard about kingdom advancement prayer stewardship. Examples we heard also was the example of Abraham and Paul. We also heard about dedication, which means deadly commitment to the things of the kingdom. And the examples we heard were the examples of Peter and Paul. Tonight, let's take a look at another one. And we shall be looking at sacrificial stewardship. Sacrificial stewardship. And sacrificial stewardship makes a star out of everyone. Sacrificial stewardship. You can't be at your place of work and put in extra hours and not get a bonus. And not get extra pay. You can't be at your place of work and put in extra hours and not get extra pay. They have to pay you overtime. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. Sacrifice changes people's stories when it comes to the kingdom stewardship. The Bible speaking in Psalm 50 and verse 5. He said, gather my saints unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. A sacrifice is like a sacrifice when it comes to sacrifices. I don't know why I put that there. But a sacrifice is like a sacrifice when it comes to sacrifices. So sacrifice is not normal. Sacrifice is going above and beyond the natural. It's going above and beyond. And God said when it comes to sacrifices, he said in Psalm 89 and verse 34, my covenant will I not break. So a sacrifice is like a covenant. You are going above and beyond, and I must do for you what ordinary people cannot get. I have to do for you what ordinary people cannot have. He says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. What is that? It is a sacrifice. I will, by sacrifice, change their stories, and it is a covenant. If you go above and beyond, it is a covenant to me. And if it is a covenant, I must do my part of the covenant, because you are going above and beyond, which is not what everybody is doing. Don't look at service as a pain. A pain will always pain you. But if it is painless to you, it will result in your lifting. Every pain must result in your lifting. There is no scar without, there is no champion without a scar. The scar of service is the scar of sacrifice. Oh, why is it only me that they are calling to do this thing? Don't worry. It is God that chose you. And when God chooses you, it's because he wants to lift you. Everybody may make fun of you, but at the end of the day, everybody will begin to see your story and begin to clap for it. Somebody's going up. I said, somebody's going up. What is a sacrifice? Let's take a look at it quickly. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is going the extra mile and paying the utmost price in our stewardship, which takes us to the topmost top. A sacrifice is going the extra mile. A sacrifice is paying the utmost price in our stewardship, which takes us to the topmost top. Jesus, our example, would give anything up for sacrifice, for service. One day he was hungry and they went to get food for everyone. He said to them, "We are hungry, go get food." Everybody went out and he stayed behind. At their return, they saw him winning souls again. At their return, this man said he was hungry. He forgot about food. He was already winning souls. So they began to ask him, John 4, 31 to 34. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, are you not going to eat? Master, eat now." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, somebody give him food. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." That's my meat. So my meat, my food is in service. It's not about physical food. It's about service. It's about what I can do to please him. It's not about physical food. It's about what I can do to please him. I am more concerned about his job than I'm concerned about my stomach. I am more concerned. I would rather sacrifice food for souls. That's what Jesus was saying. That's why we are admonished to be like him, going above and beyond like him. Paul said in Philippians 2, 5 to 9, that we read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Why? He says that who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Service is about no reputation. It's not about your name. It's not about your title. It's not about anything. It's about what you can do to impact the people. Service is about, it's not about your name, it's not about your qualification, it's not about whatever you are in church. No, your title is irrelevant when it comes to service. Service is about, I am serving him and I'm expecting returns on my service. May the Lord give us understanding. I've talked to us before about a man, the deputy governor of Kaduna State in those days, who was in service. He was an usher. You saw when somebody picked up the basket here, he was the one that was always picking it up. Until one day, I was saying, "This man looks like somebody I know." Then somebody said, "That's the deputy governor." And I said, "Eh? Deputy governor?" You see generals, army generals, driving into, Kaduna in those days again. Garden of Faith. Driving into Garden of Faith with their siren. As they are entering Garden of Faith, you must switch off your siren. Because you are not in town. You are in church. You must switch off your siren. They park their cars, and as the man walks in quietly, all his entourage also walk in quietly. Everybody serving God. He comes into the church and he puts off his army, whatever. He's now an usher. He's now whatever. Serving God with all his heart. And then somebody will now be raising shoulder here. May the Lord give us understanding. Amen. You and I are nobodies when it comes to service. I thought you say amen. Sacrifice is a scar. Like I said, but this car always results in glory. Sacrifice is going above and beyond. In Psalm 126 and verse 6, he said, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Bearing the seed. What seed? Many people think the seed of sacrifice is just the seed of money. No, sometimes it is the seed of your time. The seed of time, bearing the seed, is the seed of inconvenience. It's not convenient, but I am engaging in it. Bearing precious seed is the kingdom, is the seed of kingdom advancement prayer. It is the seed of soul winning. Bearing the seed of any form of inconvenience will always end up at the topmost stop. Sacrifice will appear as a scar, but it will always stick to the top. There is no champion without a scar. The seed of championship in stewardship is a scar. The Lord will give us understanding. And the scar turns us to stars. That scar turns us to stars. John 12, 23 to 26. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it shall abide alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, he that hateth his life is the one that is sowing the seed of sacrifice. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Jesus was saying, sacrifice will make you appear dead. Sacrifice will make you appear stupid. Sacrifice will make you appear or look like you don't know what you are doing, but it actually ends up giving you life. Sacrifice gives life. Sacrifice does not take from you. Sacrifice actually adds to you and I. Our sacrifice of time, sacrifice of energy, sacrifice of resources will end up in our favor. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
I said, I didn't hear your amen. Solomon made an unusual sacrifice that ended up in his favor. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 3 to 4, that Solomon loved the Lord, the Bible speaking, and walking in the statutes of David, his father, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place, the 1,000 burnt offerings that Solomon offered upon the altar. Now, many people don't understand what 1,000 burnt offerings mean. But 1,000 burnt offerings, not only about bringing up or bringing out the offerings, about sacrificing one after the other, 1,000. Solomon didn't ask anybody to do it for him. If you read scriptures, he was doing it by himself. To bring 1,000 rams out was a sacrifice. To sacrifice 1,000, you and I know where we are coming from when they are killing ram. You know how many minutes it takes for one? They are killing one. Everybody's clapping. The thing is shaking. Everybody's holding. He wants to move. Everybody's shaking. He did that 1,000 times. Think about it. 1,000 times to sacrifice. The Bible says he was doing it by himself. Not that he called somebody. And the Bible says, and that attracted favor from God. He said in verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. Solo, what do you want? Solo, this one that you have done, what do you want me to do? What shall I give thee? And the Bible says, behold, I have done according everything Solomon asked for. God said, I have given you, and I have given you what you didn't even ask for, because of favor, because of your sacrifice. He said, behold, I have done according to the words, to thy words. Look, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Verse 13 says, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that others are asking for, they will be an addition for you. You wouldn't need to ask for them. I will just add to them. I will just add it. Solomon asked for service again. Give me wisdom so I can serve these people. Give me wisdom to serve. God said, it's all about service for you. I will give you what you didn't ask for. May the Lord give somebody an understanding. In the name of Jesus. Please take note. Sacrifice is a function of grace. And grace makes great. Sacrifice is a function of grace. And grace makes great. 2 Corinthians 8 verses 1 to 7. He says, moreover, brethren, speaking about the Macedonian church. He said, they have the grace to give. He says, however, he said, now, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their great and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He says, for to their power I bear record, and beyond their power I bear record, that what? That they were willing of themselves. He says, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry unto the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave on their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And how did they do that? And this they did in so much that we desired Titus that we had begun. Ah, where are you going again? Verse 6. In so much that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So it's a grace. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in all love, see, to you have grace for faith. You have grace for utterance. You have grace for knowledge. You have grace for diligence, but you don't have grace for giving. He said, abound in this grace also. Every other thing that you have grace for will only work when your grace for giving is in touch. The reason you have grace, you can speak, you have grace for knowledge, you know all things, but you are still poor. Why? Because you lack the grace for giving. So ask for that grace so that God can lift you. That's what Paul was telling them. Ask for that grace. Ask for this grace also. Verse 8. Ask for this grace also so that God can lift you up. Ask for this grace also. Prove the sincerity of your love. How? By this grace of giving. When our love is proven, it turns to our favor. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has done or given, prepared for them that love him. And it is because a sacrifice that is not anchored on love is a waste. So what we are talking about now, if you are saying, oh, pastor said we should sacrifice, and you are bringing it and it is not done out of love, you are not giving it to pastor, you are giving it to God, he says it's not acceptable. If it is not done out of love, it is not acceptable. You know, God taught me something many years ago. You know how your son or yourself, you are having a birthday party, and then you invite people you invite people to your birthday party, and then they give to you. And then some give you things, and many people record it. This one give me this one. This one give me. Why? So that when it is their turn, you can also do the same. Are you getting what God is saying? So when it is their turn, you are giving. So your giving is irrelevant. Why? Because you are giving them because they gave to you. It's not born out of love. The one that is born out of love is the one that you don't know. This one, this person is just, this person's, it is this person's birthday. Oh, the Lord has laid it in my heart to give this thing to them. But you know, you are keeping the list of the ones who gave to you. So you, when it is somebody's birthday, you go back to that list. Did they give to me on my birthday? No, they didn't. And then you say, no, okay. They also congratulated me. I will congratulate them. It is not born. Your giving was not, the ones you gave to was not born out of love. Let's get this mentality straight. Your child is doing bad day, and you are recording everybody that gave to them. Because when it is their own bad day, you go and check the list again. Did they give to mine? So I will know if I will give to theirs. It is not born out of love. The ones you are giving to is not born out of love. There is no reward for it. The Lord will give us understanding. I said, the Lord will give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Quickly, as we close, let's take a look at examples of scriptures, in scriptures of sacrifice made giants. Those whose sacrifices made giants. Number one is Abraham. His sacrifice brought him under his sworn blessing. In Genesis 22, 16 to 18, and Jesus and said, by myself have I sworn. God said, give me your son, your only son. And Bible says, Abraham said, take him. If you want to eat him, it's okay by me. And the Bible says, after he wanted, he was about killing the son. And the Lord said, by myself have I sworn. That, for because thou hast done this thing, and not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. I will give you, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Sacrifice is saying that it is not convenient for me to appear in church tonight, but I gotta go. As a sacrifice. It is not convenient, but I have to be there. Why do you have to be there? Because I have to be there. Jesus is waiting. That is a sacrifice. A sacrifice is not what is convenient. You are already home. In fact, your house is 5 minutes away. You've been home since 4 p.m. A sacrifice is getting home at 5 p.m. and still driving 45 minutes to church for service to start at 6. That's a sacrifice. A sacrifice is coming at 6 a.m. for covenant hour of prayer, driving 45 minutes, driving back home 40 minutes, 30 minutes, and still coming back in the evening again. That's a sacrifice. Sometimes when I feel like, should I go or not? I think about those who are sacrificing. But somebody will be there who drove 40 minutes. My own is 20. What am I doing? My boy, get up. Glory to God. Me, I'm not sacrificing. Those are the ones that are sacrificing. So what will now stop me? Their sacrifice is what is gingering me. I'm not sacrificing. It's just 20 minutes. And that's my job. Am I making some sense? That's my job. So if I'm not there, they should even question me. Why are you not there? But somebody's driving 40 minutes to get there. So what are you doing? Solomon is number two. His sacrifice brought him into greatness. We have been told about the sacrifices he made in 1 Kings chapter 4. 29 to 34, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is upon the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled, and God gave him everything that he asked for. But please remember, as we close now, we are not wasting our time serving God. We are investing into our generations after us. We are not wasting our time serving him. We are investing into our generation. Some of us invest in the financial future of our children, but the greatest investment is our sacrifice, which answers in all aspects of their lives, including spiritual. Our sacrifice in the kingdom answers more than any financial investment that we may be doing for them. Our sacrifice in the kingdom. Psalm 112 and verses 1 to 3. He said, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. He said, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Wealth and riches, you are investing, you are sacrificing spiritually for their future. It still results in their financial future. You are investing in their spiritual future. It still generates not only spiritual future, but financial future for them. Also remember, God is not looking for who to punish. He's looking for who to furnish. Psalms 102, 13 to 15. He's not looking for who to punish. He's looking for who to furnish. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the said time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in our stones and favor the doors thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. Kingdom stewardship is not punishment. It is furnishment. Luke 22, 35. He said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And he said, nothing. Going above and beyond is not punishment. It is furnishment. Let me close with this. One day, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And I think I shared that at the evening prayer. And the king of Israel hired the king of Judah to come with him to deal with the king of Moab. And they also added another king. So, because they needed to pass through Edom, and the king of Edom joined them. And what happened? 2 Kings 3 and 5. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And verse 11 says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. So before we go, let's ask a prophet if we should even engage in this. In verse 16, and he said, thus saith the Lord. That's the prophet now speaking. He said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. That is prophet Elisha, right? Speaking. He cannot lie. He has never failed. He said, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. Remember, Elijah said, this is the word of the Lord. So it's God speaking, and has never lied. And ye shall smite every go to verse now. And according to the prophecy, the war was going against the Moabites. The war was going according to prophecy. So now in verse 24, and when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And they beat down their cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man a stone, and filled it, and they stopped all the wells of water, and felled all the good trees, only in whatever that is, left they the stones thereof. Howbeit the slingers went about and smote it. But then, the king of Moab changed strategy. Verse 26. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom. But they could not. He couldn't do it. They could not. So these people were still winning. And then in verse 7, something strange happened. 27, sorry. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. That sacrifice. And what happened? And there was great indignation against Israel. And they departed from him and returned to their own land against prophecy. What changed? Sacrifice. Sacrifice changed the prophecy because somebody went above and beyond. Don't let anybody look down on you above and beyond in church and say, why? What is he? He's looking for something. Do what he has put in your hands to do as a sacrifice and expect change of level. Anybody that stops you from sacrificing, going above and beyond, has stopped your change of level. Rise up on your feet. Give God all the glory. Give him all the praise. And give him all the honor. Father, we thank you tonight. We exalt your name. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. Thank you and thank you and thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
They tell somebody to do something. They say, is it only me? Is it only me that is there? Why are they? Because God wants to elevate you. God wants to promote you. That's why they're only seeing you. It's a function to change your story. It's not that God wants to stress you or trouble you. He has seen you. He has seen your heart. And he wants to change your story. It is going above and beyond. Well, as you are coming, brother, please, as you are coming, branch so place, pick up somebody, branch this place, pick up somebody. Why? Are you giving me gas money? Don't you know how much? No. You have told me to bring one person. That's one person I'm bringing. You have no idea God's plan for your life. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Somebody's here tonight. You are saying, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to come to you. Things are not working, but I know coming to you will make things work. Or somebody else is saying, Lord, I did know you before, but I walked out on you, and that's why things stopped working. I want to return to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to these hearts. Jesus.